Am I late for something?
I was beginning to fear you had lost yourself. Sit down.
Well, even I would find it hard to lose myself in a corridor. Especially when propelled by the mental energy of so many distinguished Time Lords.
Oh, I don't know. You seem to have a great talent for straying from the straight and narrow.
Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl in the podcast. We're talking about Doctor Who. We're going to be talking about the debut of the new series, how it's on two different days. But before we get going on that, we're going to be talking about, we're doing a classic Doctor Who episode called The Mysterious Planet. It's part of the 14-part mega series of Doctor Who with the Sixth Doctor, and very controversial, lots of stuff to talk about. But we'll be talking about the first 4-part episode, Mysterious Planet, that got bad ratings. And
I can't see why.
So I am Ken.
Jeff.
Annie.
And before we get into that, do we have any Doctor Who news to talk about?
Episode titles and new trailer this Sunday, which would be Easter Sunday.
Okay.
Which is the 30th?
31st.
31st.
Okay, so I don't care about that.
Yes, you do.
I don't care about the titles.
Yes, you do, because it gives you something new to complain about.
Oh. What about the date? When's Doctor Who returning? Jeff?
Depends where in the world you live.
Oh, so it's different.
What depends what time zone you're in, because apparently people don't have a concept of time zones.
So, for
because it's
us,
right,
America,
yeah, it's 7 p.m.
East Coast. We get it. Disney drops it at 7 p.m. That's pretty good.
On the 10th.
On the 10th
of the day,
which is midnight in England.
Midnight for England. So everyone has one to
in
set
the morning
their alarm.
One in the morning in France. Two in the morning in Germany.
So those people have to set their alarms.
Or they just wait and eat it, wake up and watch in the morning.
All the kids are going to cry because they can't stay up to watch it, so they'll have to watch it in the morning.
Well, according to the ratings, not many people are watching it anyway.
That's true.
I would do what they do with Disney. I watch it the next day. Like when The Bad Batch and all that stuff is released on Disney, I just watch it the next day. Because it's like at night.
Well, just think about it. When we were kids, we had to watch it late. And we had to watch it so much later than they got it in the UK. But we were up at, 11 o'clock and midnight watching it. At least I was.
I know. But it's like you said earlier, before we recorded, it's their program.
Yeah, I do think it is kind of unfair to them. I think it should be 7 p.m. their time.
Well, it's their own fault, because the BBC will only release stuff at midnight. All their press releases, all their trailers are always at midnight.
Well, they haven't always released the new season at midnight. They've had it
on TV. But now that everything's going digitally, they always release all their stuff at midnight. Every press release we get at 7 o'clock in the evening here, and that's midnight there, every press release. It's always been 7 p.m. at midnight for some reason. They can't do it during the day. They always have to do it at midnight. I don't know why they can't change and just say, hey, we're going to do it at this time, which I wouldn't care if I woke up in the morning and it was already on. Because it's going to be Friday night. How many people in America at 7 o'clock are going to be around at 7 o'clock at night? They might be out doing stuff. It's Friday. Except for us old people who have no lives, who will probably be there at 7 o'clock watching it.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is, Jeff, nah, to England. Okay.
Well,
no, that's fine. I mean, it's...
Or they can just wait till 6 o'clock in the evening when it's going to be broadcast on air.
Yeah, with spoilers and everything before that.
Well, the way Russell is talking in the latest interviews, he says there's not going to be any BBC in a couple of years anyway.
Ah,
I saw
that. That's interesting. I don't know why he said that. I don't know what's going on with the BBC, but that doesn't make the UK crowd happy either.
But that's why they gave the rights to Disney so the show will continue. Because he sees the BBC going kaput.
We'll wait until after this next season to review it to see if that was a good decision or not. But so,
well, if there's no BBC, where's the show going to go? This guy's, no one's paying their it's government run, and, well, and no one wants to pay the licensing fee when they can get all this stuff on streaming anyway.
Well, but streaming costs money. So I wasn't saying that BBC would go away. We have to wait until after the season to see if Doctor Who would go away. So.
I don't. Well, they already made another season.
Because they've already shot the next.
Yeah, they already started filming the next season.
Well, but they can shelve it and never show people. That would be pretty cool.
Cool's not the word I would use.
What is with you today? This is going to be a fun podcast.
Once we start talking about classic Doctor Who, I'll be fine. It's new Who that it's like.
Yeah,
I have more scenes to talk about, but we'll talk about that at the next part that we do. So. Okay. So that's good news. May 11th, whatever. And we'll talk about, maybe we'll talk about the trailer in the next part. Okay. So let's move on to what have we been watching, reading. I'll start.
Yeah, because you were okay. The longest.
Well, I've been watching nothing, so.
Okay.
I watched How the Time Lord, parts 1 to 14.
Spoilers! So
I watched all of the... I've been watching The Bad Batch.
I have, too. I'm a season behind, so I'm watching the second season or whatever.
So you haven't got to the part where...
I am barely watching it now, so... I mean, it's okay. It's good, but it's... To me, it's kind of boring right now, so I'm just kind of getting through it. But they're good episodes. I just am bored.
Oh, boy. I don't like to be bored. Anyway.
And I'm also, reading. I might have mentioned this, but I'm reading. I don't know what I'm reading. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm also watching X-Men 97.
I started watching.
Oh, okay.
I started watching that. I have a question for you, Jeff. Is that linked to the original cartoon? Because it starts it starts off in the middle of something, and I never watched the original, so I'm like, am I going to get lost watching this?
No.
Okay. Maybe I will give it a shot and watch it instead of Bad Batch.
Well, they have all those X-Men cartoons on Disney Plus anyway. If you want
to, maybe I'll do that. I got so much to watch now, Jeff. You added what? How many seasons of a cartoon on my list now?
It's quite a bit.
And I just found on Tubi, Thunderbirds Are Go, the animated, which came out a few years ago. It's a remake, sort of reboot of the original Thunderbirds TV series from Jerry Anderson. Tubi has a couple of seasons that I never saw. They came out with several seasons, and Amazon Prime had them, but they only had them up to a certain point. But now there's the two last seasons, I think. Are on Tubi, so it's like, now I gotta watch those sometime. So, anyways. Annie's not watching anything except Trial of the Time Lord. Jeff is watching Bad Batch. At what, midnight when it's on?
No, I wait till the next day.
Well, you watch it, what, 3 or 4 in the morning anyways, right? So
no, I don't. I wait till the next day.
Well, yeah, but that means 4 in the morning when you wake up, right?
Sometimes I don't. I wait till the weekend.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I wait a year.
Well, you do. I don't.
We missed you, Jeff.
Yes, we did.
Yep. It was, anyways, there was no arguing. There was all kind of.
I did watch those episodes, too, and I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, I watched those horrible episodes for nothing.
Oh, the one. Oh, there was one that I liked.
I even watched the Capaldi one, which you guys are going to do at a later day.
We already did it.
Oh, you already did it. Yeah, I watched all of them. I think the Capaldi one I liked. I hated the two Matt Smith ones.
I kind of like the Hitler one. I was surprised. I kind of liked that one. I remember
that
the one before it. I didn't like, but
they're both garbage. But I like the David Tennant one. I like the.
Well, Jeff, like everyone else that's listening to this podcast, if you haven't heard those yet, go back and listen to them.
There you go.
I did watch them.
Good. So let's talk about this. Back in 1986, Doctor Who was in trouble.
Oh, wait, no, that was 85. Sorry.
85. Doctor Who was in trouble. It was having issues. Had it gone through a hiatus? Was it off for a year?
It was a long time, yeah.
And it came back as a 14-part Trial of the Time Lord. And for syndication or for consumption, you can either watch it as a 14-parter or you can watch it as a 4-part. Well, and so we're going to review it in the 4-parters. And the first one's called The Mysterious Planet.
It's by Robert Holmes.
Robert Holmes. Probably his last
full story.
Full story.
Yes.
So this is an episode that I was really excited about. And first off, before we get further into the episode, what did you guys think of the opening?
That was like the best model sequence thing they've ever done. And they've yet to top it.
It cost a lot from what I've heard for the time, just for those few seconds of the opening.
Yeah, that's
but like, I liked like, it.
Yeah, it's like the greatest thing effect that I've ever done with a model and all that.
Yeah.
And they've never topped it.
I the first time I ever saw it was at a convention. I went to see John Pertwee and Paul Darrow at a convention near Boston, out in the middle of nowhere. I got lost. I was on the opposite side of a river one time. I could see the place, and I'm like, well, what are we going to do? Swim across the river or find a way around or over it? And we got there. Actually, I think we found out that day or the night before that John Pertwee didn't go. He wasn't going to be at the convention. So we went anyways. And as we were walking out of the convention because we had to get something to eat, Paul Darrow jumped in front of us and said, "Don't leave." And we're like, we're not leaving. We're just going to get something to eat and we'll be back. And he's like, okay. And but it was a very small convention and it was pretty neat. It was not that many people because John Pertwee wasn't there. But they showed the first couple of episodes of this, The Mysterious Planet.
Just the first couple, not the whole thing.
That's all it, because it was up to date. They had the latest episodes. And it was, for some reason, in black and white.
That's odd.
But the special effect blew everyone away that was watching it. Like, oh my God, what is this? Is this Doctor Who? Holy mackerel. But anyways, pretty cool.
It was a cool effect.
And then by the time we get to Terror of the Vervoids, we were back to normal on the special effects. But anyways. So, in this episode, or this umbrella storyline, the Doctor, Colin Baker, gets pulled out of time to stand trial. And we get to see through the trial, which, by the way, is very kind of a boring concept. We get to see several of his adventures, sort of like to see where he went wrong, what he was doing wrong, why he was on trial. And as evidence, we see these three stories. And the first one is The Mysterious Planet.
I just want to say, you said the trial was boring. I kind of like the trial part of it. Maybe because my dad was a lawyer, but.
Oh, okay.
The trial scenes weren't bad, except when Colin would just keep calling the valley yard every other type of yard, and just that joke just got a little overdone.
I did like his acting throughout the trial scenes.
Who's acting?
Colin Baker.
Yeah.
You just had to sit there, and I think he kind of did the most that you can with just sitting there. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you watched it, Annie, but I watched the DVD release, and there was a ton of extra deleted scenes that were cut out. And some of them were interesting, but a lot of it was the trial stuff. And I can imagine if that the trial stuff was more of it was put back in, it would have been even more boring, I think. But
okay, I can see that. I think there was enough trial stuff, but
It kept interfering with the story. We're getting into the story, and I know what they're trying to do. And at the time I watched it, I really enjoyed that concept. But watching it again for the number of time or whatever, I just was like, you know, some of the stuff they were saying wasn't that pertinent. Why would the doctor use something in his defense and then, like, it was bad evidence? And it just kind of was it didn't quite work 100% that I thought it could have, but and maybe because that's some of the stories weren't that great, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Mysterious Planet, the Doctor and Perry.
And Ravelox.
Ravelox, and encounters all kinds of issues where there is a robot that's kind of taking over the underground, and there's a group of primitives that are like out on the surface, and then we have two criminals.
The Tribe of the Free.
Tribe of the Free, and then we have Glitz and Dibber, who should have been made companions. Or at least Glitz should have been.
Well, he does come back, so.
I know, but he should have taken the spot of Melon and just taken. Anyways, so what'd you guys think of this story overall? The first four parts, the
that was boring.
Yeah, not really a fan.
I didn't. This is like going to Robert Holmes. Like, I know he was sick, and he ends up dying shortly after trial. But this one was not one of his better ones. I mean, Queen Katrika Jones Sims was just like horrible.
Yeah.
The way she was like, in the Tribe of the Free. Shut up. Jeez.
She did have a good death scene, though.
Yes. Yes. I have to say, Dratho, the robot, actually looked pretty cool for BBC in 1980s.
I was going to say, for the time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that walking around in that costume, that's actually pretty ambitious-looking costume. I like Glitz and all that, but other than that, I mean, the story's kind of like, and then Perry's just not like herself. Oh my God, it's Earth. Oh, wow. Like, it's a million of years in the future. And it just, I thought her character through the trial just wasn't what her character was before.
Well, the relationship between the Doctor and Perry was better. Because they were constantly bickering at each other first season. They consciously made a decision to kind of make them, you know, a little bit more, get together, get along a lot better. And I thought that worked really well. I like their chemistry better.
For one story.
For two stories.
Well pretty.
Well, yeah, I mean, for one and a half.
Okay.
One and a third. I kind of like this story. I like the music in it. I like the humor with Glitz and Dibber especially. But
I'd actually forgotten how bloodthirsty Glitz could be.
Especially in this
how
one.
How cruel. Yeah. I kind of saw him as like a light criminal before because I hadn't seen this story in a long time. And I was just surprised at how, like I said, cold-blooded he could be.
He's a bad guy. But, he was going to kill the doctor.
He was like a humorous bad guy later on, but here he really was a bad guy.
Yeah. So the trial, the whole thing of the trial. I like the scene where I think the what's her name comes in and everyone stands up and the doctor goes to stand up, but he just adjusts himself and sits back down again. Like he doesn't sit up, stand up and show the respect or whatever. I thought that was pretty cool. But I just mentioned that. So Glitz and Dibber, they blow up the, at some point they blow up that blacklight converter thing, that tower.
Mm-hmm.
They use a grenade to do that. I have one of the grenades.
Do you really?
Yes.
Where'd you get that from?
I got it at a convention. It was a Blake 7 convention. Again, I don't know why I'm getting them. And they selling it the prop. So I got it for pretty cheap. And it has little stickers that are coming off of it and stuff. But I got pictures of it off the TV. And I'm like, well, there he is. It's in his belt there, you know.
Wow.
But I was kind of neat.
Like a replica or an authentic prop?
No, that was the actual prop.
Wow.
There was like three or four of them made. They're pretty cheap. This, like I said, they look like, you know, if I drop it, it probably would crack.
No, okay.
So I agree, though. I think the middle part got kind of boring. It was kind of typical Doctor Who. It's like, get captured, go over here. You have two groups. They're going to rebel against each other. Some of them are on each other's sides and stuff. We have all kinds of different characters. Tom Chadbourne, the actor who played Duggan in City of Death, he's Murdeen in this episode. So it was good to see him back.
He was in Sarah Jane Adventures too.
Okay, yeah. And Glenn Murphy, who played Dibber, was in Kinda.
Oh, okay.
He was in Kinda? What
I don't know, but that's what it says here. I wrote it down. So, and of course, Joan Sims was Katrika, who got, you know, a good death at the end. So, I do like the format. The Doctor doesn't remember this adventure, and so it's kind of like brand new to him. And of course, they edit some of this episode out because. It's weird because this is one of my problems. The Valyard uses this as evidence against the Doctor, but there's evidence to condemn kind of like the Valyard and Time Lords. And I know we're jumping the gun here a little bit, but the whole point of this trial was kind of, well, we'll talk about that in the ultimate foe thing. But yeah, kind of boring. But I liked the music a lot. I like some of the cliffhangers.
Well, they change the theme. Different theme, the arrangement of the theme.
Yep.
But they should have changed the opening sequence to go with it too, instead of using the same one.
Yeah, I did. I like the music a lot. I like that arrangement. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this episode has a couple of good things in it. There was, you know, like I said, I think some of the characters were okay. I think Glitz and Dibber kind of steal the show.
The two young youths that got taken away.
I think the trial references, you know, at one point they stop the trial and say, do we have to see these people getting killed? And it's like, it felt like that the trial was paralleling the BBC's treatment of Doctor Who a little bit, mm-hmm. in that the Doctor Who itself was on trial at this time because it had not done that well, and they were kind of BBC was criticizing it.
It was, in a sense, canceled.
Yeah.
Almost. I mean, it was, and they brought it back after they had they did that song, benefit song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Let's not bring that up.
Well, and it's part of the history.
I know, and it's important, but this trial was kind of like when they wrote it, it was almost like they were criticizing, like they were saying, oh, do we have to see all this violence? And it's like, well, it's important to the story. When I thought it was like a representation of Doctor Who's been criticized for showing violence in the past and people have complained about it. And there's other things in this whole trial that I felt was representative of that. The whole, it's kind of double meaning. Doctor Who is on trial, so is the doctor in this. And so I thought that was kind of clever for the writing. So we mentioned Katrika getting killed. I thought that effect was
powerful. Her and Broken Tooth.
I like the discussion between Ardrathro and the doctor. They have a logic argument, which I thought worked really well, where the doctor's getting so frustrated because the Drathro's just kind of coming up with an answer for everything. And when Drathro kind of overloads, he starts glowing. I thought that effect was pretty cool.
And destroyed the secrets.
Which was looked like a film can. Like it was probably...
It really did.
Marco Polo episode 2 or something.
Yeah, it was all of Marco Polo.
So I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of things I did like about this episode, but compared to, well, we'll get into the other stuff. I didn't have much to write about this one.
Well, you didn't fall asleep, did you? Because this episode can help you fall asleep if you're having trouble falling asleep.
Well, was it really that boring, though? I mean, was it boring compared to a lot of classic Doctor Who? I mean,
well, I didn't even really take a lot of notes in this one because my main note is that's kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
The main thing that stands out to me is that they say Earth got moved and no one seems to do anything about it.
Yeah, you know? They figured out it's Earth because they see the London Underground. Arch tube.
Those two.
Do you think the doctor would get more upset about that or something? Not just the fact, not just blow it off like, oh yeah, it's time. You know, it's his favorite planet.
But don't forget, the evidence was doctored against him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is one of the reasons why when we do these types of multiple episodes that make up a full story. Not all the story is in this episode, so we have to kind of, you know, when we review the other ones, it kind of fits in and stuff like that. I thought this was a pretty good episode overall. I guess I do agree it was quite boring, but I thought there was some good stuff in it. I remember episode 1 very well, and I remember episode 4 very well.
Because that's when the guy got hit with the food and go. With his Balazar.
Yes.
And there was the food dumped on him.
And there was an attempt to get some humor with those other two characters that were helping Drathro. Those two people, those two guys that were like, "Do you know how we can get out of here?" You know.
But Grell and Humker, whatever they're called.
Are they called that? Yeah. So yeah, I guess we don't need to labor
in
on
the
this
tribe
one.
Of the free, Perry. You can have 10 wives or husbands.
Husbands.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. I mean, anything else?
There wasn't
on this?
That many females in that episode. It was just Katrika and Perry.
Yeah.
No wonder why she could offer him her five husbands. There aren't any females around.
Well, maybe. Okay. Well, if there's nothing else to talk about, we'll just,
Oh, and the Inquisitor, but she was on the space station.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
Robert, I mean, it's disappointing because Robert Holmes has done so many really good stories.
I know. I want to like this more than I do because of him, but it just didn't grab me.
I mean, it got between 4.9 and 3.7 million, which is very low.
Back then, yeah.
Especially back then, it's pretty bad. So this did not. If you're trying to bring Doctor Who back, and it did come back, it came back for a couple more seasons with Sylvester McCoy. After this season, but it didn't light the sky on fire or anything. It wasn't that, you know, it wasn't
No, it led to Colin Baker getting fired.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of underperformed again. And I mean, I don't think this whole season's a total loss, but this one didn't help. I mean, the opening scene, everyone like, oh my God, this is the Doctor Who's better than ever. But within a very short period of time, it's like, okay, we're going back and forth on the story again. And, you know, there was some argument. There was a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. There was arguments and how the show should be. There was a lot of tension.
Eric Saward, filming. Sayward and Jonathan Turner had a fallout.
Yeah. And they were unhappy with Robert Holmes' writing. And
Robert Holmes got sick, so they had they panically asked Pip and Jane Baker to write the last episode.
Jesus. Well,
which they didn't do that bad. I mean,
I don't like them. When they did the novels, they were horrible. So, anyways. Okay. Anything else about this one?
I think that's enough.
Okay, I think that's more than enough. Thanks for listening.